The scripture reading from the Old Testament is Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. The scripture from the New Testament comes from Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 48. An eye for an eye. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than the others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May God add his blessing to the readings of these scriptures.
So last week we talked about where your heart is. And this week, in this passage, it's a lead up to this passage. If your heart is in the right place, it's not so hard to think about loving your enemy. But an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, isn't that how we live? You know, when we're little kids, we always want fairness, we fight with each other. You took my thing, I'm gonna take your thing. It's kind of almost human nature. But let's pray about what this message has for us today together. God, we thank you for these words, this Sermon on the Mount that gives us wisdom beyond measure. We thank you for all of these ways that we can be healthy in our hearts, in our souls, and in our lives when we can truly be part of the kingdom of heaven on earth. We thank you for bringing us here today. Open our hearts and minds. Help us to know this love that you're talking about, this love of the enemy. How do we do it? We sometimes feel so paralyzed. Help us to understand. Bring us to that point of grace where we can take in that grace and give that grace. In your name we pray. Amen. So over the weekend, Alex and I were in Moab, and one evening Alex went to sleep early and I was watching TV, and we watched the old movie Fried Green Tomatoes. You guys seen it? Well, I've never seen the whole thing, and there's a point where these women are together and they, you know, the one woman has left her husband who is abusive, and they're running this restaurant, and they have this black gentleman who helps them, and the one woman's ex-husband is part of the KKK, and they take this man and they beat him up, and they come with their torches to the restaurant, and I had to turn the TV off, and I was thinking about my sermon. Love your enemies. And I thought, I am so full of anger and disgust at these KKK members who have beaten up this beautiful, wonderful person who has helped these women survive. And I thought, how quickly, in a moment, your heart can change and you can feel hate instead of love. And I know it's just a movie, but you know, movies draw you into emotion and they want you to feel like this. But isn't this what happens in real life too? There are injustices that make us angry and we want to lash out. So for us to get to this place of loving our enemy, how do we get there? How do we connect with God in a way that helps us to actually love our enemy? How do we pray for those who persecute us and others? It takes a lot of critical thinking and critical processing for us, for each one of us, as we grow. When we're children, it's easy to just see everything as black and white, but as adults, we know that isn't true. It's not black and white. There are gray areas. But Jesus says, turn the other cheek. You know, I think the first time I got slapped in the face, I felt so assaulted. And then the only thing I wanted to do was slap back. But I don't always feel that way anymore. Because sometimes now when I get slapped, I think, well, what is going on with that person who's slapping me? Let me, or emotionally slapping, I don't actually get slapped in the face anymore. But if you get emotionally slapped, what is that person doing? They're, in some ways, reaching out for love. They're angry. How can you dispel that love? I mean, that anger with love. It's always difficult when you're around difficult people. You may have someone at your job who is difficult. And how can you love in place of that anger? We're living in a time where we are so divided as a country that I heard on NPR the other day that Democrats will not even date Republicans because they can't handle having that political difference in their relationships. And there are people who make it work. I'm not saying that there aren't, but to even find that as a news item is interesting to me. So how can we even begin to connect with people who are our perceived opposites? Maybe we don't think of the word enemy, but there are people maybe who we don't think the same as they do. How do we take that moment of love? What does it mean to turn the other cheek or go the extra mile? This going the extra mile, that story is a very cultural thing of the time. If there was a Roman citizen who was traveling and there were Jewish people traveling with them, they could make the Jewish people carry their load. If they had, something they were carrying, they could make them carry their stuff for a mile. And Jesus is saying, take an extra mile with them. What does that mean? Is Jesus just saying, lay down and take it? I don't think so. This passage is so much more than that. It's about taking that extra mile to love that person. So in that extra mile, you can tell them all kinds of wonderful things about God and show them how much you care. Yeah, I'll take it another mile. Let's go. Let's go and have a conversation. Let's hang out together because we're not so different after all. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I mean, that was the kind of stuff of the Old Testament that there was some need for justice, and this was stuff just within their own people that they were trying to figure out how to make things work. And Jesus is just saying that was never the intent of the law. Let's think about what it really means to be in community. Does it really mean that we always hold a grudge, that we always make somebody pay? It doesn't mean that. It means that we love everybody, that we care for everybody. It's a difficult thing to do, especially when you view women who are abused in their relationships, men who are abused in their relationships. I think this passage can be confusing, just like last week's was confusing. You know, if your arm sins, if your hand sins, cut it off. These are metaphorical sayings that are supposed to help us internally change ourselves so that we can be happy and healthy, that we can live peacefully. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's right here, and I'm going to teach you how to live it. We aren't just waiting for the afterlife. We know that Doris is in some great place because as Christians, we believe that there's more. But Jesus is saying we can live peaceful lives here and now. And here's how you do it. You love your enemy. You don't hate people. If you just love all the people who love you, you're no different than anybody else. If you want to live a kingdom life with God in it and that relationship that we have with God, the place that we go is this peaceful place where we learn to get along with other people, where we love those people who show us hate. And as we grow, as we nurture those people who we think are enemies, things change. They really do. I have prayed for people, and I have been amazed at what God does to change hearts and minds to a place of love. I hope that this last week was a nurturing one for you, so whenever you felt the negative, that you could bring up that wellspring of love that God gives to us, that we each have internally. And I hope that this week, that you can go through the week and say, who have I not loved? Who do I think the enemy is, and how can I nurture them? How can I love them? It's about going that extra step in maturity and saying, I'm just not going to be a hater anymore. I'm not going to hate that person who I think is oppressing me. I'm going to do everything I can to love them and help them to a better place. Because that's how we really end up being community, isn't it? When we all love each other, no matter what mood we're in, no matter what we do to each other, we can always find that peace with each other. I think it's why Doris said to me, please tell everyone that if there was anything they needed forgiveness for, that they have it. What a wonderful thing to do on your deathbed, to say to people, there's forgiveness for everyone, and I hope you'll forgive me. That's a place of peace. She went in a place of peace. She was living the kingdom of heaven before she even left to go to be with God. Isn't that amazing? Don't we all want that? And that's really what Jesus is saying in these passages as he leads up to this. I don't want you to think about an eye for an eye. I want you to love everybody. Let's figure out a way to go that extra mile and get those people who feel like they're our enemy to be our friends. You'll have a lot less enemies that way. We'll learn to live together in better ways. How can we communicate this gap that we have with each other? And the answer is love. Let's appreciate that people are where they are in their maturity and they're doing the best they can, and we can love them no matter what they do to us. Love them anyway. Care for them anyway. Go the extra mile. Don't be abused, but go the extra mile to love them. These passages sometimes give people permission to stay in abusive relationships because they think if I just give a little bit more, things are going to change. We can't leave ourselves in places like that because we don't have to live like that. There are ways of getting to a better place even in an abusive relationship. So never take this passage as laying down and taking it, because Jesus was strong. He was revolutionary. Jesus didn't want to be a king with jewels and armies. Jesus wanted to be the king of our hearts so that we could live happy and healthy, all of us, and loved with no classes, with no difference. Jesus invited us into this dance with God where we're all one. Jesus' prayer in John 17 is that they may all be one, that we can all be one together. That's the purpose. The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is to bring us into that oneness. And our religion isn't the only religion that goes there, because we all want that. We all want peace. We all want love. Don't we want to get to that place of happiness and wholeness? And there is never a time I won't preach that, because that is what God is about, loving all of us and us loving each other. That's why we're here as a community, because we believe together, we share together. And we're going to share in celebration of Life for Doris next week, and we're going to get together for all of the things we do and coffee hour, and we're friends and we love each other. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. So be blessed by it. Read it through. Love the language that's in here. And if you need a version that helps you understand it better, the Message is fantastic. Get on Bible Gateway and read the Message. This is an amazing group of sayings, beginning with the Beatitudes. Blessed are they. So blessed are you. Amen.